Okay, thank you very much, Avi and Lisa, for hosting us tonight.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So tonight, in light of the fact that 3 weeks are starting next week, and we'll only have two weeks of the 3 weeks that we'll get to meet, to have a shiur, so I figured we'd start my idea for the 3 weeks this week.
Next week,
we're not going to have a shiur, no. But then the 2 weeks in between Shavuot and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av will have a shiur. So I figured in these 3 weeks, this week and then the two in between Shavuot and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, we would talk about some of the tshuvas from the Holocaust. Some of the tshuvas that came up, some of the shailas that came up during the Holocaust and the tshuvas that were written from them. The main source of most of these shiurim, all of it, with a little bit of extra, but the main source will be there was a Rav who lived in the Kovna ghetto, Ephraim Ushri, who survived the war and ended up becoming a rabbi on the Lower East Side in Beis HaMedrash HaGadol in 1952 until he passed away in 2003. So Ephraim Ushri survived the war. He was born in 1914 in Lithuania and ended up in the Kovna ghetto. So he, in the Kovna ghetto, apparently was a custodian of a warehouse of Jewish goods, of artifacts. What the Nazis were intending would become a museum of the extinct nation. And it was full of svarim. So Rav Ushri was asked, he was a Rav there, I mean he was all of 30 years old at the time, but he was asked many shailas. There were a few Rabbanim living in the Kovna ghetto, but he was one of them. So he was asked many shailas, and he would do his research in the warehouse. He would try to write down his answers, and he then put them into cans and buried the cans, and intended that after the Holocaust he would come back, find the cans, and elaborate and write them up in tshuvas. And sure enough, Baruch Hashem, that's what happened. Rav Ushri he did survive the war. His first wife and children were murdered by the Nazis in the Holocaust. But then he remarried after the war. He went to Rome and set up a yeshiva for orphan survivors, and then moved the entire yeshiva in 1950 to Montreal. And then 1952, he was asked to come and be the rabbi of the Beis HaMedrash HaGadol on the Lower East Side, which is where he ended up for the next 51 years. So Rav Ushri published 5 svarim. There's a 5-volume set called Mimamakim, which means from the depth. There is one volume, an abridged one volume in English, if anybody's interested in reading it. It's called Responsa from the Holocaust. It's one volume. It's the tshuvas themselves are abridged. There are only a select number of tshuvas in there, but just to get a little bit of a taste without all of the halachic discussion, but to see a taste of the questions and answers, the response from the Holocaust is very easy to obtain. Those are sold in farm stores. The Hebrew sets are a little bit harder to get, called Mimamakim. They are available online. You can download them online, which is how I got some of the tshuvas themselves. So anyway, so I'm going to be using mostly his tshuvos as a springboard for this year. And the tshuvas are fascinating, but the questions themselves, I think, are a testament to a tremendous amount of Mesiras Nefesh and to the real greatness of the Jewish nation, that in a time of such darkness, there were people asking such even intricate questions. We'll deal with some of the more general questions, I think, but maybe we'll touch upon some of the smaller, seemingly minute, detailed questions to the degree that I saw somebody asked about, can he eat matzah shruya on Pesach because he didn't usually eat kibbutz? I mean, really, the questions that were asked were amazingly detailed. But I picked 2 for tonight. We'll see what we have time for. As is the way here. But we'll see what we have time for. I figured we'd try to do 1 or 2 each night that we meet. So tonight I wanted to start with an amazing tshuva. And the question, the way the question is written, maybe I'll read some of the way he wrote the question, because just an amazing, the literature, the way, the wording is just beautiful. It's really the question of the bracha that one makes on Kiddush Hashem. And the question that was asked to him, he explains that in the ghetto they were called to, everybody had to come to the square, that the Germans were going to check everybody and decide who would live and who wouldn't. And so they all went there, everybody was gathered in the square, and he said people were carrying people who were sick, they were carrying them to the square, because they said if anybody's found in their homes, so then certainly they would not live, they would murder them. But he said, and everybody was crying, and it was a very nasty day, it was snowing, it was raining. He says it was almost like the Yoshvei Marom, all the Malachim, understood that they were Nivhalu v'nechpazu v'zel z'sholim, borrowing from a little bit from the Rosh Hashanah davening, that they were, you know, everybody was confused, even Aye Kel Kelim, where is God? And it was almost like the angels themselves were wondering at this time, where was God? Ana Shochem Me'ulim Rachem Al She'eris Ton Marisecha, where is the God who lives above, who has mercy on his flock? But nevertheless, everybody went to the square, and all of the Jews of the ghetto were there. It was almost 30,000 people, and they were waiting for the Nazis, the Yimach Shemam, to come and decide who was fit to continue living and who was not. And he said, Reb Eliyahu Mivarsha, a Jew, Reb Eliyahu, came to him, found him, one of the people who escaped Warsaw to go to Lithuania, assuming that it would be better in Lithuania, and sure enough it wasn't. He said he fell from the depths to the depths. He ran from one place to another place. It didn't help him. And he came, and he knew, because he came from Warsaw, he knew what this meant. This Rebbe Eliyahu knew what they were in for. So he came running over to Rav Ashri, and he said to him, I know what's going to happen, and I have a question for you. What is the bracha that somebody who's going to be mekadesh Hashem, to sanctify the name of God, what bracha should he make? Should we make the bracha on a person dying al kiddush Hashem? Should we know we're going to be killed al kiddush Hashem? Should we make the bracha? Is there a bracha to what is the bracha? It wasn't a question of if. But it's a question of what? What's the nusach of the bracha? Lifnei mosam? Or, O aleim levarach asher kiddushanu b'nisosa v'divanu l'kadeshas Hashem? Is it al kiddush Hashem or l'kadeshas Hashem? That was the question. Right? That was the question this person facing life and death was worried about asking. What bracha should I make? Al kiddush Hashem or l'kadesh es Hashem? V'hu amarli, and he told me, Rav Ashi writes, he said, you know, he wanted to know for himself what bracha should he make. If chas v'shalom he would get to that he saw what his fate would be. He said, but besides that, I want to be mekayim a mitzvah. Maybe the last mitzvah in his life. V'hi la'avor bin hapkudim lamus. He said, I want to have the zechus to do one more mitzvah, to run amongst all the people and to tell them, just in case they met their fate in this square, what the correct bracha should be. Rav Eliyahu said, I want to be the one to teach everybody what bracha to make, to mekadesh shem shamayim. And that was his question. So what bracha should I make, Rav Ashri? His question was, what bracha? But really, the question should also be, if you should make a bracha. Because we know that we don't make brachos on all mitzvot, all of the mitzvot that we do. Many of the mitzvot we do make a bracha. But there are some mitzvot that we don't make a bracha. So before getting to what the correct nusach of the bracha is, the question really should be asked, should there be a bracha at all? Right? Before trying to understand what's when we have different types of berachas hamitzvah, we have like likroes ahalel or lahadlik ner shal shabbos shal chanukah, as opposed to al natilas yadayim, al mikra megillah. Right, there are different types of brachas. There's an al and there's a lit.
would the difference be whether the mitzvah is a passive or active?
Okay, so we're going to get to that. We're going to get to
what is the mitzvah? What is the
which one?
Kiddush
Hashem. What's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? So what's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? So the Gemara tells us that there's a, the pasuk says v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that there's a mitzvah to mikdash Hashem, to sanctify the name of Hashem amongst the Jewish people. And there are some conditions that need to be met in order to fulfill the mitzvah, midaraisa, to the actual mitzvah. But the mitzvah is v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that if it's in front of 10 people, or 10 Jews, right, because we spoke about this when we spoke about davening with a minion, so we spoke about how it said v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. And it told us that B'nai Yisrael to exclude non-B'nai Yisrael, non-Jews. So anybody, so as long as you're being sanctifying the name of God in the presence of 10 Jews, then that's a fulfillment. In a situation, if you're being killed in order because they want to destroy the Jewish people, and by you being killed, you are being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, so that's certainly a fulfillment of the mitzvah of sanctifying the name of Hashem in public. Okay, so the question is, what do you make a bracha on a mitzvah like that? So there's basically three times that we don't make brachos on mitzvahs, right? Most mitzvahs we do make a bracha. Some mitzvahs we don't make a bracha. Like what? What don't we make a bracha on? What's the mitzvah that we do that we don't make a bracha on?
Honoring parents.
Honoring parents, okay. Honoring parents. That's the mitzvah sase, right? That we don't do, right? Honoring parents. What?
Giving tzedakah.
Giving tzedakah, right? Giving tzedakah is one of the classic examples that many of the Rishonim quote, because we don't make a bracha on giving tzedakah. And that's a clear mitzvah sase, right? What else? Tzedakah fits one of these categories. Kibbutz Avim, I'm not sure. Being happy. Simchas Yom Tov. Right. Mitzvah is the simcha. Yeah.
I don't know how you make bracha on that.
Right. First, Simchas Yom Tov. So the question is whether we might make a bracha on Simchas Yom Tov, because Simchas Yom Tov, from the kind Simchas Yom Tov with Basar and Yayin, so you make a bracha of Kiddush, you make a bracha of Basar and Yayin. So there are basically three categories. One is, probably the biggest one, is a mitzvah which is totally the das ha'ayin. Yeah.
Walking in Israel.
That's true. That's the mitzvah, right? Taking steps in Israel, right? Walking Dalet Amos. That's the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or moving to Israel. Right? We don't make a bracha on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael either, which is, according to the Ramban, a mitzvah midaraisa, a fulfillment of a mitzvah midaraisa. So yeah, it's a good point. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to explain why we don't make brachas on all of these mitzvahs. But tzedakah, I can, so we'll start with tzedakah. The mitzvah, there are basically three categories. The Shla has a whole discussion about this, and he quotes the Avodrom. The Avodrom says there are three types of mitzvahs ase, positive mitzvahs. Obviously, mitzvahs lo ta'ase, we don't make brachas on, but on a mitzvah ase, so there are three types of mitzvahs ase that we don't make brachas on. One is a mitzvah which is totally b'das acherim. Meaning, I can't do the mitzvah on my own. I need somebody else to be a part of this mitzvah, and really it depends on them in order, my fulfillment of the mitzvah depends on them. For example, tzedakah. If I go to give somebody tzedakah, there is a chance that he'll say no. There's a chance that he won't accept my tzedakah. So if I make a bracha of giving tzedakah, right, let's say there was a bracha of giving tzedakah. So I go to give tzedakah, I get there, and I say the bracha, I have to say the bracha, right? By derech ha-mitzvah, the halacha is that we make the bracha before we do the mitzvah. So you need to do the bracha, you say the bracha over lasiyah, so meaning before you do the mitzvah. So you'd be about to give tzedakah, you'd make the bracha, and you give the ani, you outstretch your arm to give him, let's say, a dollar, and he says, no thanks, I'm okay. Right? So what happened? So did I fulfill the mitzvah? No. But I made a bracha. So now it becomes a bracha levatola. It becomes an unnecessary bracha. And the same is true, possibly, why we don't make a bracha on something, let's say, like mishloach manos. Maybe. We spoke about this. It's Purim time in shul. About mishloach manos. Whether if you try to give somebody mishloach manos and they say no, are you fulfilling the mitzvah? Right? Or matanos levionim. Right? A little bit simpler. Matanos Avyonim, which is similar to tzedakah. So there are a number of, or
The other example that he gives is, let's say, Maiser Ani. When you give Maiser Ani, you have to give Maiser Ani to the Aniyim. So again, similar to Tzedakah, that you don't have to, he could say no. Or Misameach Ger Yosem V'Almana Beregel. To be Misameach, the Ger Yosem V'Almana, on the regel, there's a specific mitzvah to be Misameach them, that they can say no. So whenever you have a mitzvah that you can't do on your own, there's also... whenever you have a mitzvah that you can't do on your own, but it's talad b'das acherim or b'yad acherim to do the mitzvah, so you don't make a bracha on that type of mitzvah. Another type of mitzvah that you don't make a bracha on is if there is a suffix as to whether it will be fulfilled. For example, the example he gives is that the pasuk says ushvatem tzedek, that there's a mitzvah to judge righteously, to judge correctly. So there's a mitzvah to be a dayan and to give correct judgment. The problem is, if you were to then make a bracha before you read your psak din, right? A case comes before Beis Din, they're about to paskin, tell everybody what to do, what the answer is, they're about to read it, and they make a bracha. Right? Let's say that would be the case. They would make a bracha. Then when the two people would walk out of court, A, you don't know if they're going to listen to your psak din. They may not. Should they? Of course they should, but they may not. And two, they may say to themselves, you know what, let's come up, now that we heard what they think, now let's talk amongst ourselves and come up with a different answer, a different agreement. And in each of those cases, it's possible that the mitzvah that you did of judging correctly will not actually play out, and therefore will never be fulfilled. So whenever you have a mitzvah that you're not sure that it will be fulfilled, not because it's dependent on other people, but because you're not sure if it will play out in the correct way, that's another reason why you wouldn't make a bracha. And the third one that Abu Dram writes is if it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. For example, chalitza. Right? If really you have another option, yibum. Right? When a person passes away without children, then the wife, if the man passes away without children, so the wife is then the brother of the husband, does yibum on the wife, marries the wife. But if he decides not, that he doesn't want to do yibum, and nowadays we don't really do yibum in those communities, then we have the mitzvah of chalitza, which is also a mitzvah in the Torah, that she puts on the shoe and he spits in the shoe and she spits in front of him, and he says this is based chalitz now, right? But that's a mitzvah also, and that allows her to then go free. So in that case, that's a mitzvah haba ba'avera because you decide not to give him. Or for example, hashavas aveda, not hashavas aveda, hashavas gzela, right? There's a mitzvah asay to return something that you stole. But in order to have an object that you stole, you need to first commit a crime of stealing. So you hope to never actually have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of returning a stolen object, because that means you stole an object. And another example is returning ribbis, right? If you charge ribbis, you charge interest, you have to return the interest. But in order to fulfill the mitzvah of returning the interest, you have to first violate the prohibition of charging interest. So in that case also, you don't make a bracha when you actually have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of returning ribbis or returning something that you stole. Those are mitzvahs haba ba'avera, and therefore you don't make a bracha on those either. So what about Kiddush Hashem? Right, so does Kiddush Hashem, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of sacrificing your life to sanctify the name of God, does that fall under any of those categories?
Yeah, you don't know it's going to happen. Oh. They might see you praying and say, you know what, maybe someone had some kind of information knowing that you don't want to waste a bracha. We're going to make this guy waste a bracha now. We're going to leave him alive.
Righteous Gentiles.
Oh, no,
they weren't
righteous.
The ones who had the gun. You know?
Well, not righteous. That they think it'll be a fun joke.
Oh,
make
you're
him
saying
waste
make him waste the bracha.
Right.
Well, you have to know for sure that.
Yeah. Right. It's dependent on someone else.
Right. Meaning it's dependent on someone else. It's b'yad acherim. It's like tzedakah. Right? They could say, forget it. I have rachmanis on you. I thought that's what you're saying. I have rachmanis on you. Forget it. You can go free. Right. So that's what. So the Shlah thought of that, and he knew that people would ask that, and he says, don't say that you shouldn't make a bracha on Kiddush Hashem because they may change their mind. Because. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? Right? In this case, how would you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem?
Being willing to go?
If I were to go and say to them, okay, go ahead, right? I'm willing to give my life for the purpose of sanctifying the name of Hashem, so already then, there's a Kiddush Hashem created. Right? Even if the officer decided not to go ahead and shoot, and they decided to have rachmanis and to allow you to live, you already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Right? Generally, we assume that Kiddush Hashem means to sacrifice your life to sanctify the name of Hashem. But the Shlo writes that it's not true. Because really, and he quotes the story of Daniel and his friends, even though Hashem miraculously saved them, is if God would make a miracle and would save you, so still there was a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Vindikdashti. There was still a Kiddush Hashem created by willing. Tekev kishamasar gufo lahariga. Immediately when you give yourself to be killed for the purposes of sanctifying the name of Hashem, Kidesh Hashem b'soch b'nei Yisrael, there's already a sanctification of the name of Hashem amongst the Jewish people. And therefore, the mitzvah is already done before they take your life. So according to that, that reason wouldn't apply.
Well, I'll ask you a question. What do you mean by sanctifying the name of Hashem? How do we know that, I mean, just because you're willing to be killed by the Nazis, that is in some way sanctifying the name of Hashem? It's not like if you suddenly said, or disowned Hashem, or said Hashem doesn't talk they would save you. The mere purpose of being Jewish is why they were doing the killing.
That's a good question.
So why would the allowance to be killed be sanctifying anything?
Right. Meaning, this isn't the Inquisition.
Right.
Right. Where they could have gotten out of it by saying, okay, I give up my Judaism, I'm willing to join you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In which case, that would be a sanctification of the name of God by saying, I'm not giving up my religion, I'm continuing.
Right, now you're sanctifying it by saying, I still believe, you're going to kill me, you're going to kill me.
Right.
This is not, believe it or not, you were doing this slaughtering anyway.
Right, so the truth is, it's a good question. I think the answer is that when a person is killed for the sake that he is a Jew, that is considered a Kiddush Hashem. That even if his intentions were, I wish I didn't have to be doing, I wouldn't have to be doing this, then it would still be a Kiddush Hashem. Once they're being killed for the only because they're Jews, then by doing so, that's a Kiddush Hashem. Right? So yeah, but it's a good question, because we think of Kiddush Hashem by making a proactive choice.
Right.
And here they weren't really, unfortunately, making a proactive choice. And nevertheless, it seems to be that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem.
How would you know if and when to make this struggle? What's the action that you're doing? What point, how do you quantify? Now, I'm about to pick up all of the mitzvah, I'm about to be mocking very quantifiable mitzvah.
Right.
At what point?
Well, so in this case, when the question was being asked, it sounds like they would know when their last, let's say, few minutes were. You know, they'd have them line up somewhere and, turn around and line up. And at any point standing there, I would imagine they assumed that was the last moment of their life.
It's interesting that on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, we read very detailed stories about the martyrs, the 10 martyrs who were killed, and none of them does it talk about making a bracha, by saying Shema and other words of wisdom passed on to students, but no mention of bracha at any point.
Right, it's true. It's true. There is a question as to whether you make a bracha at all, which is what we're trying to figure out. It doesn't fit into any of the categories of types of mitzvahs that you don't make a bracha on. And the Shlo has another type of category that maybe you only make brachos on mitzvahs which you have to try to find them. Like you have to try to run after them to do. Right? You have to try to do the mitzvah of tzitzis, of tefillin, of lulav and sukkah, but you don't have to try to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Right? Because if you know that you have an opportunity to sanctify Hashem's name, but you can also escape and survive, then certainly you should escape and survive. So it's not the type of mitzvah that you actually have to go look for an opportunity to fulfill. It's actually a mitzvah where you should try to avoid it if you can. But he doesn't like that. In the end, he says that it's not really true. Because he quotes the story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, right before his death, he was smiling and laughing. And the students asked him, and he said, because all my life I was waiting for the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Ahav Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, with all of my soul, meaning to give up my life for Hashem. So he says, you see from there that you don't have to run after it to actually have the opportunity, but you should, anxiously await if the opportunity does arise to do it with happily. And therefore he thinks that also that reason wouldn't really apply to Kiddush Hashem. But you're right, it doesn't mention, the tefillos that we say, or the kinos that we say, it's not clear that we're getting the entire stories,
but you're right, it doesn't mention making a bracha on Kiddush Hashem. But the Shlah is of the opinion that you would. And he quotes an earlier source of the Rikinati, that you also, he also says you should make a bracha on Kiddush Hashem. He says it's a pasuk in the Torah. And then the Shlah at the end says, Ubifrat ki chaviva mitzvazu, mikol mitzvah asay shalom. This is the most special mitzvah in all of the mitzvahs of the world. Right? This is Kiddush Hashem. This is almost like the purpose of all of life is to make a Kiddush Hashem. Our goal is always to sanctify the name of Hashem in different ways. Whether it's, you know, with in interpersonal relationships, or whether it's the acts that we do, right? Mika Amsa Yisrael. But regardless, we're always trying to sanctify the name of Hashem. So this is a special mitzvah. And he says all of the brachos depend on Kedusha, and this is certainly V'kiddushanu. This is certainly a fulfillment of V'kiddushanu. So therefore, he thinks that you should make a bracha. But you're right, it doesn't mention it in the kinos and the tefillos. So, but there is no reason to assume not, right? None of the reasons that we find by other mitzvahs, I'd say, apply to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, except for maybe you never know when it will happen, right? Like Avi said, you never really know I'm about to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, that I can now say a bracha. But it could be that that's true normally, but in circumstances like them, in the Holocaust, so they had a pretty good idea about when they felt that was the moment of Kiddush Hashem.
Can you only fulfill Kiddush Hashem through Dalai?
No.
You can, so,
no.
So you have many opportunities. You
yeah.
You can be in front of a crowd of Jews and you can do something
right.
Kiddush Hashem. So you can make,
saying, why don't we make the bracha in other times of Kiddush Hashem?
For example, I mean, if you have a siyum, like the siyum of the night after the siyum HaShas and
right.
the Square Guard or something like that, I would assume that that would be a Kiddush Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the Gemara learns out the Dvarim Shebekdusha, Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. Those are also Kiddush Hashem. Those are also fulfillment of the mitzvah of the pasuk. Maybe because the simple explanation of the pasuk is to give up your life. V'nikdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael. I guess that those are almost fulfillments of the mitzvah, but the actual mitzvah itself, meaning the ultimate fulfillment of the mitzvah, is giving up your life in a situation where whoever's trying to kill you wants to destroy Yahadus and destroy, and that, I mean, that's what the Gemara discusses at length in Sanhedrin about situations where they want to be Ma'avir al-Das, they want to get rid of your religion, or if they just want to destroy the Jews, they want to destroy Judaism. So those are real fulfillments of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. But you're right, maybe there are other ways of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem.
I mean,
if there are other kiyum hamitzvahs, even if you say they're a lower level of kiyum hamitzvah, so shouldn't they also warrant a bracha?
But his example is there's an action there, so there'd be more of a reason to say bracha. There's an active, you're sanctifying Hashem's name, thousands of people.
Right. Right. I'm not sure. But this is the pshuto shel mikra, the nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, might be more of a sanctifying through your life. But you're right. Why doesn't that also apply? I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
Do we have brachos for inaction?
For passive mitzvahs? Not usually.
Not really. No.
Not usually.
That's the whole thing. You make a bracha before you do something.
Right. Otherwise, what's the bracha on? Not doing something. That's why you don't make brachos on lotas. You don't make brachos. You don't do a lot of things.
Yeah, but if you're being killed, if you're giving,
yeah, so that's doing something.
You're giving up your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even if it doesn't end up happening, that's the chiddush of the shlah. That's just giving, offering your life. Yeah.
But if I'm killing you, I should also be making
it. You're assisting the mitzvah. Right.
Mitzvah above avera. You don't make brachos on mitzvah above avera. That's one of three categories. Okay, so that's so good. So we now know that you do make a bracha. And that wasn't the question.
Rabbi Eliyahu from Warsaw didn't ask whether you should make a bracha or not. His question was, well, once I'm making a bracha, what should the bracha be? Al Kiddush Hashem or L'Kadesh Hashem? So the question is, what's the difference between the two? And why do we have some brachas which are al and some brachas which are lit? Right? What's the difference between those two types of brachas? So that is a big discussion amongst the Rishonim in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim is discussing the mitzvah, the bracha that you make on Bedikas Chametz and Bir Chametz. You make a bracha of Levayer Chametz, Etza Chametz, or Al Bir Chametz. Now we obviously paskin Al Bir Chametz. That is the bracha that we make. But it is a discussion in the Gemara. There are two opinions in the Gemara. And there, in Pesachim, it's on Dav Zayinim at Aleph, on Dav Zayinim at Beis, there in the Rishonim, they discuss at length, well, what's the difference between S and Lit? What's the difference between those two types of brachas? There are basically two opinions that the Rishonim all quote. One is Rabbeinu Tam, who's one of the Baalei Tosfos. And Rabbeinu Tam writes that the difference is that it's whether the mitzvah will be done immediately or whether the mitzvah will be done over a period of time. Right? If the mitzvah is done immediately, then you say al. But if the mitzvah is done over a little bit of time, then you say lit. And his examples are that, let's say, Megillah, you do it immediately. Matzah, you eat it immediately. Marr, you eat immediately. So you say, Al Achilas Marr, Al Achilas Matzah, Al Mikra Megillah. As opposed to the Le, like Lehisate Batzitzis, because you then wear the tzitzis for a significant amount of time. Lehaniach Tfilin, because you wear the tfilin for a significant amount of time. Leshev Basukka, you're sitting in the sukkah for a significant amount of time, and therefore it's a continuation of the fulfillment. So there are holes in both of the opinions here. That's his opinion. And there are questions. Everybody asks questions. Right, Lahad Likner would work, because Lahav Likner is fulfilled over a period of time. The biggest problem with either of these answers is that we make two brachas in tefillin. Right? One lit and one out. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. So you need to come up with some type of explanation. So the general answer by tefillin is just, well, we didn't want to have two brachas on one mitzvah. It looks funny anyway, so we'll change it a little bit. And since it's al is the second one, that's the one we'll make on the whole extension of the mitzvah. But there are questions on each.
Maybe he held only one bracha.
So that what?
Maybe he held only one bracha.
Yeah, but somebody had to have two, and you know whoever had two must have had an answer. It happens to be, I think, Rabbi Natan may have been the one who had two. I think Tosas may have quoted that you have two. I don't remember, but I think it may have been Tosas. I'm not sure. So there are questions. For example, Hallel, we say, Likros Hallel as a Hallel. Why is that any different than Al Mikra Megillah? What's the difference between Hallel and Megillah? Why are they the same? Right, Kriyas Azuhi Lula, right? Mikra Megillah is in place of saying Hallel on Purim. And so we don't say Hallel. One of the answers in the Gemara why we don't say Hallel on Purim is because we read the Megillah, and the Megillah is basically in place of Hallel. So why would you make them differently? And if you want to say, well, because Hallel takes a long time, well, Mikra Megillah takes longer. So it doesn't really... But there are questions. All the answers have questions. The other answer that's given is given by the Riva. And he's also quoted in the Rosh and the Ran. Everybody quotes the same two opinions. And the Riva writes that the difference between Al and Le is whether it's a mitzvah that you need to do on your own or whether it's a mitzvah that you can send a shliach to do. If it's a mitzvah that you can appoint a shliach to fulfill for you, then you say al. But if it's a mitzvah that you need to do by yourself, then you say le. So, for example, leishev basokha, you need to do on your own. Lehaniach tefillin, leizatev batzitzis, all of those need to be done by yourself. You can't send somebody to put on tzitzis for you. You can't send somebody to put on tefillin for you. You can't send somebody to sit in your sukkah for you. You cannot send somebody to eat your matzah, which is why in the end he writes that we make lecho matzah and lecho maror. That his brachas on matzah and maror were different than the ones we make because of exactly that point. He says we make the bracha of lecho matzah. So
So it's yeah, it's a good question.
So it's Makadei Shem Shemayim.
The problem is lulav. Lulav is a problem. Because you can't send somebody to pick up a lulav for you, shake a lulav for you. You need to shake a lulav on your own. So he answers, everybody comes up with it. You need to answer all the questions. It's hard to come up with one answer which will fit all of the different brachos. So al netilas lulav, he says, the reason is because sometimes you'll pick up the lulav and you'll shake and you'll have forgotten to make a bracha. So you forgot to make a bracha, and many times you'll have to make the bracha on the lulav after you're ready or yotze. And therefore, the bracha of with a lamed, so not only is with a lamed that it's a mitzvah that you have to do by yourself, but lamed also sounds like the mitzvah I'm about to do. So if there's a mitzvah that I did already, I can't say litolus halulav, to take the lulav, because I already took the lulav. So now I can make a bracha of al netilas lulav. So whenever I'm making a bracha, or there is a chance that I might be making this bracha at a time when it was already fulfilled, and now the bracha is on the past, that also has to be al. Right? So,
Rabbi, I could forget to make any bracha. I mean, any bracha you could forget to make.
You could forget to make it. No, but some brachas, once you miss it, you miss it.
Right.
You can't then make it.
Turn them all into al, and then you can make it later.
Al, then
you can make it later.
No, he says that about Al Natilas Yadayim also. But Al Natilas Yadayim is already a funny bracha, because we make it in between, before, after the washing, before the drying, right? So it's already a funny Berachas HaMitzvah. But yeah, it's a good question. Again, all of these have holes, because there are many mitzvahs that are similar, right? Megillah and Hallel are very similar, so you always have to ask, well, what's the difference between Megillah and Hallel? That Megillah is Al. So Megillah is Al, that means I can use a shliach, because I need somebody to read it to me. But Hallel, can I also listen and have somebody? So he answers, no, because there are certain kinds of Hallel that they need to be said responsively. So you actually have to be involved in Hallel. You can't send somebody to do it for you. Shofar, they talk about shofar in all each of these cases. Lahadlik ner shel Chanukah is a problem, because you can send somebody to light your Chanukah candles for you. So why is it lahadlik ner shel Chanukah? It should be al neros Chanukah. But he says no, because it's the normal way. Normally everybody lights their own candles because everybody's excited about Chanukah. So since that's the normal way to do it, so we'll just leave it as lit. So again, they're forced to come up with answers, because of their general rules that they try to make in order to explain the difference in the nusach of the brachas. But regardless, neither of them are perfect. Neither of the two brachas really answer all of the questions. But regardless of which answer you take, so now applying that to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So if you apply that to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, right, so we have two answers as to this distinction between brachos which are al and brachos which are lit. So the first answer we said was that Rabbeinu Tam said that if it's immediate, then it's al. But if it's something which takes time, then it's with a lamed, and then it's lit. Right? If it's a continuous mitzvah, something that you start fulfilling now and then runs for a significant amount of time, it's with a lamed. As opposed to something which happens immediately, then it's al. Then the Riva said, no, the difference is whether you can send a shliach. If you can send a shliach to do the mitzvah for you, then you say al. If you can't and you have to do it yourself, then you say lit. So what about Kiddush Hashem? So which one should it be?
Do it yourself. You can't send a shliach to go diaper.
So according to the Riva, it should be l'kadesh Hashem, right? But according to Tosos, according to Rabbeinu Tam,
also happens right away.
It happens right away, and therefore happens right away. So right away is al. Right? Right away is al. So if you say like Rabbeinu Tam, you should make the bracha of al Kiddush Hashem. But if you make the bracha, if you according to the Riva, you should make the bracha of Lekadesh Hashem. So
what if you say that if you sanctify the Emperor Hashem and you're about to die, you're dead to eternity, so it takes a long period of time?
It's a continuous fulfillment of the mitzvah. In which case, you would say lit. So the Rav Ashri Paskin, he told this Rav Eliyahu that you should make a Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddush Lanu Mitzvah B'Tzivanu Likadesh Shmo Barabim. Likadesh Shmo Barabim. which is the Lamed. The reason why he paskin that way is because he thinks that the Riva is correct. He thinks that the Rush and the Ran, most of the Rishonim agree with the Riva, that the difference with, between Al and Li is whether you can send a Shliach, whether you can send a messenger to fulfill the mitzvah for you or not. And Kiddush Hashem, you cannot send a messenger. Now, what Eric is saying is that maybe even according to Tosos, he would say that Kiddush Hashem, maybe that's a long mitzvah. Maybe that's a mitzvah that doesn't just happen now, but it's a continuous mitzvah, and it's Li because it doesn't just happen now. It's a mitzvah that now is true for eternity, which is a svara. He doesn't say that. He just says the reason is because he paskins like the Riva, that the distinction between Li and S is whether you can send a shliach or not. Now he then ended with, he says that Rebelio Shina Vashilish Anusach Shal Bracha, he repeated it over and over to himself, the Limit Gamli Yehudim Acherim, and he taught it, he ran around the ghetto teaching it to everybody, Shitei Bracha Zum Mishunenet Umichudedis Vafim, that they should really be familiar with the bracha of Lekadesh Shemo Barabim, in order that if it does so that they should know Ech Levarach Lishtagia Shaitam Chasasham Lamus Mos Kedoshim. Then he says, right, this is how he passed it. Again, remember, this is like a 30-something-year-old rabbi being asked these questions, which are Dvarim Omdim Barumo Sho'olo. And now he says, but I was very happy that afterwards Rabbi Eliyahu came back to me and told me that he saw Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who was older at the time, he was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Baranovich Yeshiva, who had an opportunity to go to escape and go to America. And I think he said that he wanted to be together with his Talmidim to be a source of chizik for them. Unfortunately, Rabbi Chanan was murdered in the war. But this Rabbi Eliyahu came back to Rav Ashri and told him that I found Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman told me that the Chafetz Chaim also said, like the Shlach, that you should make the bracha of Lekadesh Shemo Barabin, that the bracha should be with the Lamed. And then the Rav Ashri says he heard from the family of the Chafetz Chaim that they heard also from the Chafetz Chaim that the correct bracha on Kiddush Hashem is Lekadesh Shemo Barabim. And that's how he paskin, because he thought it was correct like the Riva, that Li was meant, the brachas of Li are for brachas, are for mitzvahs that we can do only on our own, that we can't have a Shliach before us. And he felt that the Kadesh Hashem, the Kiddush Hashem, the Rabin was a mitzvah that only a person can do on his own. So I wanted to start with this tshuva. We'll end here. We won't do both tonight. But I wanted to start with this tshuva because this has been a tshuva which basically covers many of the tshuvas. It's a part of all of the tshuvas because many of the tshuvas that we'll talk about over the next few weeks will be situations of mysterious nefesh, of people asking, can I put my life in this situation? Should I put my life on the line in this situation? And in all of them, there was some aspect of Kiddush Hashem. So I thought that it was appropriate to start with the question of, do you make a bracha? And amazing that a person would ask, that was the question they were what they were worried about as they were facing life and death.
So what
they
the
were worried
with
Kaddish, with bracha. Oh, good question. So he quotes he says to say Shema afterwards. He says, you say Kaddish Shemo Barabim, and then you say Shema.
So that there's the action that the person says.
And then you say Shema.
There's the action that the person does.
Or the Shlach does.
After the bracha.
What was that?
Pronouncing the Shema after the bracha is the,
oh, that's the
action that goes with the bracha.
Mm-hmm. Could be. It could be.
You're publicly sanctifying the name.
Uh-huh. Right.
Doesn't there have to be 10 Jews present, though?
When?
If the person is being murdered.
Right.
Of course they're Jewish. In private, though, you've had situations where Arabs would kill families. They're not with other Jews at the time.
Right.
They're dying.
Meaning what needs to be in public? The
yeah.
killing or the publicizing
of the
right.
In order for it to be considered.
Good question. Does it have to be the actual killing, or can it be that the fact that everybody will find out that these people
even
killed?
Even if everybody doesn't find out, it's still a Jewish Hashem.
because
right, but you may not make a bracha unless it's Kiddush Hashem Barabbim. I'm not sure which part has to be public. Definitely if it is in the presence of 10, but the question is whether afterwards, then it might, maybe not. I think maybe not. Because the Pasuk says, V'nikdashti v'soch b'nei Yisrael, it sounds like the Maisa, whatever Maisa is here, whether it's the Shema, whether it's the going, whether it's the accepting, whatever it is, that part would have to be Barab, that part would have to be v'soch b'nei Yisrael. I think. But that he doesn't deal with either. Because unfortunately,
so in other words, you're not even fulfilling the mitzvah really, unless it's for other.
A mitzvah d'oraisa, maybe.
Right. That's the same question. What are the parameters of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem that you'd be able to make this bracha? I mean, why can't these people make a bracha? Would you say that's not a Kiddush Hashem? That's hard to say. But then again, so then where do you draw the line? Every situation of Kiddush Hashem, should you make the bracha of the Kaddish Es Hashem Barabim? Or the Kaddish Shmo Barabim? Kaddish Shmo Barabim, would you make that bracha? So they do mention that we make a similar bracha, HaMekaddish Es Shimcha Barabim, in davening every day. Right? We do. It's a machlokas whether you make that bracha or not. In Korbanos, right before Korbanos, when you say the Shema after the Ficha, there's the Shema Yisrael. The end of that pasuk is Mekadesh is Shimcha Barabim, so that is to a certain degree a bracha on Kiddush Hashem. So does that kind of cover the whole day? Why is that bracha there? Right. So that there is some bracha that we make. Not everybody makes it with shame, with the name of Hashem. Right. It's the Yerushalmi that mentions it. Some people leave out the shame of Hashem. So that bracha is a questionable bracha anyway. But in the Sidurim it is printed as a bracha. So that might be to some degree covering the Kiddush Hashem. But again, but you're right. It's a good question as to how exactly to what are the parameters to fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem that you would be able to then say that I can make a bracha on the Kiddush Hashem. Right? Would it have to be to the degree that a person is giving up his life in public? Right? Is that the only type of Kiddush Hashem that we would say that you make a bracha on? If that's true that it is, the question is why? The question would be why, but I don't know. Leave that for another week. Okay. Go ahead.